Around the NFL Podcast is in a podcast marriage made to last.
We'll see. Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
What's up?
Ho!
We're in a marriage with who?
With each other. This is a marriage, let's face it.
It's built to last. 700 plus episodes deep, 5 years now.
And it is. Here. We had a conversation, our friend, a colleague downstairs, James Coe, of the NFL Fantasy Realm, is leaving the company after several years, and we're going to miss him, and best of luck in the future. And it did. Mark and I were talking to Coe, and Mark and I have been here since 2010. I think you guys since, what, 2012?
I was 12. West, I was 13.
Yeah, right at the beginning of 2013.
I mean, we are, and this comes on the same day that one of the most important, well, important maybe is not the word, but one of the most visible newspapers where I grew up, the New York Daily News, just slashed their sports department from 35 employees down to 8 or something insane like that, and cut loose a lot of like gifted beat writers and stuff. And we are very lucky to have this amount of time that we've had together.
Let it be known, when I arrived here before Dan, let's start right there, by a couple of weeks.
You got me.
And when Dan arrived, he had no idea how the computer systems worked, and I had to spend an afternoon sitting down.
We don't understand basic technology.
Well, this is how our content management system works, and without me, Dan, I think your career would have gotten off to a rough start. The lockout happened soon after, and they cleaned out a lot of people. You probably would have been one of the people they said, this guy's just not getting the technology.
Can't turn on a computer.
Right.
What are these computers you speak of?
We did have a few editors that had issues with technology.
Actually,
no doubt about it.
There was a gentleman, we're definitely thinking of the same person, did not know how the internet worked. But he's no longer with us. We're still
shocking.
There. We're happy to be all together as we really...
Yeah, he died of natural causes.
He's dead now. But he was a good man. No, he's alive, I think. But couldn't be sure. But this is the Monday show. Really the first show, Mark. It's back to grinding. You're off the beaches now because...
Off the beaches.
Here we are now. Let's see. The Bears, good job by the Bears. They reported on the 16th. The Ravens, no joking around. They reported on the 11th. And now we have the Jaguars, the Dolphins, the Saints, the Bears, the... Ooh, I see you, Detroit Lions, July 19th. Good job by you. And and then today, Cardinals, Colts, Chiefs, Pats, Giants, Titans, all reporting. And then everyone else will by the end of the week. So we are now... I mean, we've flipped the page. The calendar's flipped over. It is the 2018 season. That's it.
Oh, it's a 28-week season. That's how I like to look at it now. Week one just started. This is like one
rise and grind, Sessler.
It's one of the easiest weeks, so enjoy it.
I don't know if it's just because we've done this so many times that it doesn't feel like the start or end to anything. And I don't mean to downplay it. It's just that it's like we were doing a lot of work last week. We were doing a lot of work the week before. And it will continue on until,
it does,
next
it
summer.
It does feel like a difference. I think we all enjoyed this offseason. I mean, Wes was named offseason champion.
Months ago.
Been a little cocky since, to be honest.
Yeah,
he's kind of throwing his weight around like, hey, I'm the champion, not you guys.
When he's posting Instagram photos in his new backyard of a wine and cheese party with
hold
fiance.
On.
I mean, this guy is feeling himself a little bit.
Yes. Now, the record show, I didn't post anything.
No, he didn't.
And now, he did.
This morning, I dropped off my family at the airport. There, I shipped them away for the rest of the season, and now it does feel like something's starting.
It is the start of something. And now, a brief aside, dear God, please, please let the Browns be better this year, because I don't think Mark will survive the season if you're not better with the Browns. So make the Browns okay. Amen.
I think you're secretly wishing that that's just about the Jets, but...
This is you. We need you to get through this.
We all are rooting for you.
I guess my bigger concern internally is like that I feel exceedingly detached from the Browns.
Oh,
so I would like to...
No, we don't believe this.
No one believes
that. Don't you say this every August?
I just do. I don't know.
Your entire personality shifts as a Brown season descends into chaos. So
it's more when like people are down in the news from snickering at them.
That's never going to change.
I know. Well,
unless they got better.
If nothing else, for the sake of the Sunday night podcast listeners, the Sky Sports hits we do on Sunday, I want you to have some smiles.
Well, it would just be different. How about it just would be different than anything we've experienced here?
I think we should play the track of all the times you've said you've detached from the Browns in the past.
Well, it's a tortured, unhealthy relationship.
We had teased on Friday. What did we tease, Lindsay?
Big announcement.
A rebirth of a new season. We figured out that's what the cooing was about. And also, it did get on our radar because a lot of listeners reached out that this is our five-year anniversary of the podcast. So how about that? Rebirth for that, too, baby. Rebirth.
All right.
Anyway, the big effing announcement, Shadow League figure said hold off on that till the end of the week. So the big announcement will come probably on Friday's show. So don't get mad.
Announcement.
There it is.
It's an extended tease.
Yes. Just make you earn it. So a lot to get to today. An update, speaking of the Cleveland Browns, on one of their top playmakers and his availability for training camp. Really sad news. A former head coach passes away. And later on in the show, we will talk about with training camp really rolling into form now. A piece written by Greg that we will talk about. Notable bros on the roster bubble in training camp. Greg's wording in that headline as well.
Not my wording. Yeah, not accurate.
It's not accurate. What are you going to do, by the way, with the house to yourself?
What is that supposed to mean?
Can we get that Jimmy G music?
You know, I have to still got that spend on? A lot at taco places around the west side.
I mean, if the past is any indication, there's going to be some fence climbing and some windows broken into. And Greg's
going
to
break into my house at the time when they were gone. Yeah,
it's just good to have that house to yourself, though.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, but now everyone knows. So aren't you kind of like the way when you were younger, you like people find out parents gone and then suddenly from everyone from your class, in this case, your workplace piles over to the Rosenthal
house. Come on over. It's been a while. I don't think you guys have been there in like 5 years.
I think it was like the birth of your first child. Maybe?
I think it was a birthday party early on.
Yes,
it was.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do some news. Football. It trumps politics. That's true. That is true. And it's all in the wording, Mark.
You did a nice job with that, Dan.
The Cleveland Browns will start training camp without Josh Gordon, the receiver reinstated by the league last year, announced on Monday morning through social media. He will not report for camp on Wednesday when the rest of his teammates show up. We don't have a clear picture of the case behind it, but Gordon said that he said that current treatment that he is, of course, Gordon has had his issues with substance abuse, and that's led to his past suspensions, that he is going into a treatment to kind of get ahead of any future issues that he could have. So this was his line: to my Cleveland Browns and NFL family, I am reaching out to you all personally and letting you know that I am not only doing great physically, but mentally as well. You will notice that I will not be in Cleveland for the start of training camp. Rest assured, this too is a part of my overall health and treatment plan. Mark, it's kind of being teased as something that won't be a long-term absence, but again, this is something to keep an eye on because Gordon has had his problems.
Yeah, and NFL media insider Ian Rappaport noted right away when they brought him on Inside Training Camp Live, which launched today, that it's not a suspension, it's not a failed drug test, and at this point, there's no timeline for when he's going to be back, that it's part of something that his medical team came up with. I think it's natural, not only as a Browns fan, but anyone who's following Josh Gordon's career, that you're immediately wondering what is really going on here. But based on what we know, and like you'd find out if it was a suspension or something that happened that was really a problem for his development in a different way than this, I think. The best possible scenario is that he's been in so much rehab that he's gained some maturity in terms of knowing when he's going to get into a tricky area and addressing it beforehand. But most people probably feel like something went on behind the scenes that we don't know about, but we'll know about at some point.
Yeah, the statement mentions the medical director who was appointed jointly by the NFL and the NFLPA. So whatever happened, happened along with the consultation from that medical director, whether it was Gordon coming to him or the director gaining awareness of something going on in Gordon's life.
We got to wait and just see.
Right.
I mean, we're just speculating. But I think it does serve the overall point that the Browns have gotten this far, I think, kind of counting on him now for this year. And so we'll see. We just don't know.
Moving on to some really sad news in the NFL.
This ball to me goes in this hole, okay? It's four games worth, all right? Goes in the hole, and I'm going to put the first piece of dirt on it, okay? Anybody else that wants to put any dirt on it, you help yourself. And if you don't feel like you need to do anything like that, okay, I'm fine with that. But here's your shovel. Here's your tool, and those four games are over with, and we're about ready to go to work here.
That, of course, is the voice of Tony Sparano, the former Miami Dolphins head coach, former interim coach for the Raiders, when that famous soundbite, that's where that came from, and current Minnesota Vikings offensive line coach. He died unexpectedly on Sunday, just 56 years old. Sparano was entering his third season as the Vikings offensive line coach under Mike Zimmer. He had been in the NFL for over two decades, began his career back in 99 with the new Browns franchise. That four-year run with the Dolphins went 29-32, but also became the first head coach to ever lead a team that had gone 1-15 the year before to the playoffs, and still the only team since the Brady-Belichick regime took hold that's won that division other than the Patriots, the Dolphins in 2008. So there you go. Mike Zimmer said, I love Tony Sparano. He was a great teacher, a grinder of a worker, and had a toughness and fighting spirit that showed in our linemen. Wes.
I think when he first came into our lives, we constantly knew him as the guy whose name was almost Tony Soprano. And then eventually he got to be this guy who it seemed like everybody appreciated him for being a really good position coach, offensive line guy, tight ends, running game. Like, he bounced around from all these teams, but he seemed to be a beloved figure and was really good at that aspect of the job.
And he and we had, on this very podcast, had a lot of fun with the bury the ball. That's when he was the interim coach, and he took over. I think the Raiders had lost four in a row to start the season, if I recall. And what he did was, and this was documented by their social media, was dig a hole, drop the ball in, and then handed the shovel around, and then all the Raiders players took his cue and then sealed up the ball underneath the practice field. And we had fun with it at the time because it was kind of like a funny, like, cliche coach thing to do. But it was also like Sparano and also his personality. He was a Connecticut guy. His backstory, how he had the reason he wore the sunglasses is when he was a teenage cook in a fast food restaurant. He had a grease accident, and everyone had a lot of fun with him having the shades on at all times. Sparano was a personality, and it's really sad to hear him go like this.
I think you just look at the outpouring, the tweets, the words from the people that knew him, that were like these. A lot of these, even though he was a head coach and we knew him from that, a longtime assistant, and these guys sometimes float anonymously after their head coaching career on these teams, but you're spending more time with your players than the head coach often or anyone else in the building, and everyone just came out saying this guy and his family, his kids, his wife, they just adored him, and so the person had a huge impact on the people he coached.
And it was so sudden. I mean, he was right. The offensive line coach of the Vikings. You know, he had a doctor's appointment reportedly last week and was feeling some chest pains. And so it really came out of nowhere and shocked the Vikings. And you're right, Mark. Like, when we think of NFL coaches, you think, well, was he a success? Was he not? You think about, like, wins and losses. And, like, listening to some of the people, like Jake Long had a really long, really beautiful tweet saying how much Sparano had meant to him and his family and was maybe, you know, the most important coach and kind of a father figure in his life. And Donald Penn, who's now with the Raiders, said very much the same thing. Reggie Bush, Chad Penny, and all these people. And you think, like, that's success. Like, just listening to everyone talk about how important he put his family and how clearly loyal all the players that played under him were, like, that success. He had an incredible success.
And it's easy to forget that he had that one season in 2008 when they did win the division. Where watching Ronnie Brown and the Dolphins run that wildcat, that was a sensation for months.
38-13, still the worst home loss of the Belichick era. in New England. They had no answers. Ronnie Brown, I think, had 9 touches and 4 touchdowns or 3 touchdowns. It was a complete like coaching masterpiece. So Sperano, even though maybe it didn't end well in Miami, he always had that, including that division title. So rest in peace, Tony Sperano. Let's move on to Andrew Luck and more good news for the Colts quarterback. General manager Chris Ballard announced Friday that the star
quarterback... What's your favorite type of frog?
Well, he said that, but then he also said that the team's star quarterback was, quote, good to go for training camp. That per Kevin Bowen of 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. Luck will practice without limitations and take the team's starting snaps in camp with a dose of built-in days off. And he will play in the preseason, Mark. This is all exactly what a Colts fan wants to hear.
Yeah, I mean, this has been one of the more elongated, beguiling narratives for so long because they've gone back and forth on what Luck would be able to do in various OTAs and minicamps. And this, if assuming there's no setback at all, is a definitive answer that we're going to get Andrew Luck back at full strength this season, and it completely changes what the Colts are.
He's got the fever. Remember Jim Irsay said it. He's got the 107-degree fever for success. And now here it is, and it's proof. And it makes me more excited to watch football in 2018 because there aren't many players more fun to watch.
Remember, we looked that up. If you have an 107-degree fever, you need to seek medical attention.
Immediately.
Life is in danger.
You're dead.
You're very close to it. It's
your brain is boiling.
Wes, I don't know why you're laughing. It's Sir Mark.
I don't find it funny at all. I think you would need to seek medical help as soon as possible.
Little updates on some star players that will be at camp this week or when their camps or teams report. Odell Beckham Jr., another elongated narrative, Mark, speaking of which. He will be with the team and report on time on Wednesday. Kimberly Jones reported he wants to play football, comma. He wants to win. Hubba hubba. Also, David Johnson, he will be ready to go. Johnson coming back from that wrist injury last year that basically cost him the entire season. But he is also heading into the final year of his rookie deal. They're trying to get a deal done, but that won't stop Johnson from playing football with his teammates. And also LeSean McCoy, who, of course, is embroiled in nothing that he's been connected to by the police, but the stories about the alleged home invasion robbery involving his ex-girlfriend, thought that maybe that would be something that would complicate his season, and it still might. But for now, he will report to the Bills on time on Wednesday. So all three of those men will be with their teammates.
David Johnson and Odell Beckham fall into the same category with Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack as guys looking for contracts, and you have to decide, are you better served showing up and trusting that a deal might get done or holding out and trying to prompt the team into making a move? And Rap Sheet today on our airwaves said that out of all of them, Khalil Mack is the one to watch, that this could get serious, that there could be potential for him to hold out long into training camp. So Khalil Mack looks like the one that we're going to want to watch.
I'm happy that David Johnson, it sounds like it's a matter of time until he gets his deal, and we don't have to deal with this story.
Yeah. One thing on Odell Beckham, I looked it up today, 21 wide receivers will make more money than him this season, and yet the Giants have taken a bit of a different tone than the Cardinals, because Steve Kimes said, we want to make this work with David Johnson. The Giants sound to be in no rush at all, and I just don't know how, like, you've got to get this thing done.
I wonder if how much him being a total weirdo factors into the Giants' hesitation.
I think the ownership's spoken about that. I mean, they feel like there's more to see with Odell Beckham.
I'm being playful with my wording, but his personality, he's eccentric. He may be a guy that they're not totally sure about investing that much money in. We'll see. On to the Ravens' nest. Oh, my God.
Why do
a horrible bird.
They get their own sound drop. I don't, you know, these other teams out there should be.
I know. I think that's why the Ravens fans are so protective of this drop.
Well, that's, I mean, horrible bird. That's a little harsh. That's one of
those wings flapping.
It's one of the smartest animals in the kingdom.
You know what? That's fair. I actually was thinking that crows and the crow and the raven are different beasts.
Well, they're a lot alike, and they're both extremely intelligent as far as birds go.
Yeah. A little overrated.
That's like being the tallest person at like a Rosenthal family dinner or something like
you
that.
You should YouTube. It's like, YouTube clips of a bird like fashioning an implement out of a paperclip just to pick something up. Like it works out problems right. And then comes.
And you would like send the ravens with messages in olden times?
Well, I think that's more
that's
of a fiction.
A science fiction thing, but I can see it happening.
When are Pigeons. You. When are you going online and looking up clips of birds?
Yeah,
I'll take your
word
I've
for it.
I've tweeted
on the
it
old,
before.
YouTube.
It's a fascinating video. The bird is incredibly
shut
smart.
Those f-ing birds up,
please.
They did
alone.
Have messenger pigeons back in the day.
Greg, who is the tallest member of your family? Now that you bring it up, I'm curious, and like the history of the family.
I guess my dad.
Six
you know?
Footer? No, well, he's no. not six.
I mean, I don't really know beyond.
There, what about like a grandparents?
It's a small
and stuff,
family. No. No.
How tall is your brother?
He's a couple inches taller than me, maybe 5'8".
And you married, your wife is Japanese. She's short.
Her family's short as well. I'm just as tall as her parents, yeah.
So you're continuing. You're in fact, you're advancing the trend.
Yeah, basically when...
You're going all in. You're just leaning into it, basically.
Yeah, when I see my son out there playing soccer, we're out there, I'm like, you poor sucker. You know? Actually, soccer, I guess.
It's good to be.
Basketball.
I have a friend, you know, my friend Smasher.
Yes.
He's a big fan of the Belgian soccer team. It's where he's from. Said their number one guy, their top star.
Terrible example.
Little guy.
Terrible example to use soccer there. I should have said tennis, basketball, something like that.
Spud Webb, bro.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. On to the Ravens' nest. Joe Flacco. Oh, he is supposed to be the starting quarterback and probably will be for the Ravens. But don't forget about the Rook, Lamar Jackson, who is really doing himself some favors with a strong start to his training camp. Here's what offensive coordinator Marty Morenwig. I know how to say it, but then when you look at the spelling, it actually will trip you up.
It's that H that trips you up.
Morenwig.
I think maybe the number one toughest spelled name in the game.
Yeah, it's not a
it's
fun
underrated.
One.
Jimmy Garoppolo
I've never learned
still
it.
Gives me trouble.
I still cannot do Garoppolo.
Garoppolo's killing
You know what did it for me? Our former podcast producer
TD.
Reminded us on Twitter when this came up. You just got to remember, it's Garopp and then Polo.
That's right.
Which it sounds ridiculous, but that's helped me remember.
Yeah, because you're always talking about your look at that Garopp over there in the corner.
Love those Garopp.
Here's what Marty had to say about Lamar. He's done an outstanding job to date. From the Ravens official website. He's way ahead of the curve. This guy is a hard, hard worker and a tough-minded guy. And you know what? Don't just sleep on it. Oh, so it's a wrap. This guy's going to take the job over because it's not necessarily the truth. Because you know what else? Marty had this to say about Joe Flacco. Oh, my God. It looks like he's moving and grooving better than he has in several years. And he had the back injury last year, and now he's looking good, Greg.
There's a lot of, like, Joe Flacco is moving well, and Joe Flacco is motivated right now. That's what really speaks to me.
That's on the radar a little bit. Why is everybody talking about that so much?
Yeah,
why does he need the motivation so much?
Dan, you are enjoying this like it's a kicker battle.
I am.
Like, this really, whatever that button is that the kicker battles really push for you.
Yeah.
This particular quarterback battle is going
you know
to
why?
Too.
It's two great narratives. It's the young kid that everyone loves that could electrify the roster, and then the old dog.
No, I feel like you're way more interested in seeing how Joe Flacco reacts to this.
Yes, and all the motivation stories and he's the old Super Bowl hero. I think it's a really nice combination. It's kind of like what happened in Any Given Sunday with Jamie Foxx's character and Dennis Quaid.
Very much so. I think.
That's where this is coming from.
It keeps reminding me that the Giants did not go down this path.
Not really. But
yeah,
I just
this could be
right
the Giants.
Now,
it could, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Like I watched Flacco's presser the other day. He was kind of having fun with it. I don't know if it's a new Joe Flacco or what, but he was kind of salty. He was a little sarcastic. He was kind of poking fun, having fun with it. I don't think it's much of a battle. Whoever our reporter is there today,
it's Garofolo. Garofolo
said that Lamar Jackson's been lining up in the slot a couple times today, that he's been lining up as a wide receiver.
I like that angle, too. It's like
I like that games. Angle, too, but that means it's not a battle.
He also mentioned that there have been a couple times where he has just fried the defense, and I would love to know what the play – by the time you get to the end of this preseason, who the players want as their quarterback.
This says potential for a lot of Lamar Jackson's playing the slot, dropping third down passes when they take their slot receiver off the field and he would have caught the pass. Like you always hear about this in the summer and then the quarterback messes up and they're like, we're not going to do that again.
It's like, sorry, Willie Snead, you got to go to the bench.
I like that, by the way, Wes. It was like, why does Dan like this so much? Like, is it like an interesting football story to her? He's like, no, it's from some stupid movie. That's why he likes it.
That's how you took my response?
Yes.
I mean, it's accurate.
Well, a lot of your sports interest ties in your pop culture interest as well.
Yes, that's correct. Moving on.
I think it's more about the personalities. Like, you are intrigued by the personalities.
I'm comfortable where I am. Listen, right now I could be in the lab if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't choose to be right now. I'm upstairs in the kitchen. Yeah. But I could go down to the lab if I needed to. So I can go up and down the flights of steps.
Just be happy you're still breathing, unlike that guy who had to learn the internet 7 years ago.
Who knows where he is? I don't know. Nobody knows.
I hope they'll learn the internet.
I hope he's alive. Johnny Manziel, remember that guy? He's still in the CFL, but he hasn't been playing at all. The Hamilton Tiger Cats happen to have the best quarterback in the league right now, starting. Were you guys aware of it?
What's his name?
Don't know.
Masoli.
Who?
Who?
What is it? I forget his first. Jeremiah Masoli, something like that?
Maybe it's the guy that couldn't do the internet. Maybe he went to
CFL. I have enough teams to track. I don't track CFL on a day-to-day basis.
Burn. Anyway, the Tiger Cats have a studded quarterback. They had Manziel wasting away on the bench. It was probably a distraction. It was probably a major media story in the CFL. So what do? They ship him to the last place squad in the CFL, the Montreal Alouettes, a move that reunites Manziel with the head coach of the Alouettes. Oh, my goodness. There he is, Mike Sherman, former Packers offensive or head coach, and also the man who recruited Manziel to Texas A&M once upon a time.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Although he didn't coach under. He was a redshirt guy Sherman's first year, and then I think Sherman got fired at A&M, and then
they probably still like spoke to each other in the hallways, maybe.
Constantly.
Well, recruited.
They're actually best friends.
Sure, he's a big recruit.
Best friends.
There's a link.
I have two sources. I don't have a third, so I can't say that definitively, that they're best friends at college. But here's what the GM of the Owlette said about Manziel. We have acquired an exceptional quarterback with undeniable talent. With his great mobility, his athletic abilities, and his instinct, we believe that we have a positive impact on our offense, and offense spelled with a C at the end.
Well, who would have guessed that on July 23rd, 2018, we'd be talking about Manziel being traded for 2 first-round picks and 2 players?
Still got value, just not here.
I don't know who is the CFL drafting? When does their draft occur? Because they're not taking Saquon Barkley away from the Giants.
It's a little confusing with like how much. I don't really know. Their chart with the draft picks is clearly out of whack compared to the NFL's. If Johnny Manziel is worth 2 first round picks,
right? Calling it a blockbuster deal, like, up in the CFL.
How do you decide whether to waste a draft pick on a guy or not in the CFL? Do you like, if you get whispers that somebody's interested in maybe possibly playing for Canada, you could waste a draft pick on
Mike
him?
Sherman isn't the guy, I feel like, to turn his career around, but what do I know?
And Manziel, we haven't heard him speaking out in frustration, although how would we know? He's in Canada.
It's just, but this means we get him.
Country.
He'll be playing in days.
He should be, though. Get him in the lineup, somebody.
Well,
I don't care if you're not
getting him in the lineup, I don't know what they're doing.
I know why he didn't play for the Tiger Cats, but now get him in the lineup with the bad team.
Let's go, Alouettes.
The NFL. And the NFL Players Association announced in a joint statement Thursday, this happened right after our last podcast, that the league and team policies regarding conduct during the playing of the national anthem will not be issued or enforced for several weeks as part of a standstill agreement between the two sides. A source informed of the situation told our own Tom Pelissero that everything connected to league and club policies on the anthem will remain on hold as discussions between the two sides play out. In a statement, read a little part of the statement from the union. The NFL and NFLPA, through recent discussions, have been working on a resolution, important word there, to the anthem issue. So we'll see how this plays out. This was always the thing, Greg, that jumped out to me when this controversy went off last month, was how are these two entities, the NFL and the PA, not in lockstep when the announcement was made? So maybe better late than never to pull it back and try to get this right.
This development, I think, was embarrassing for the league to have to do. But I'm just hopeful as a fan. I'm rooting for you, NFL and NFLPA. Come up with a solution that makes everyone happy. The players, the owners, us, all of it. I think you can do it.
Well,
and here's the solution. Don't do anything.
I was going to say, just keep it on hold.
Right. No,
don't do anything. But you have to announce that you're not going to do everything. anything. Obviously.
This is the first.
I'd put it on hold, not say anything, not respond to the president's tweets, which he's already done one, and just play football and just let it play out.
Yeah, and let people exercise their rights, you know.
But right.
We'll see.
It's the only, like, they've gotten in their way over and over and over with this. This was the first sensible kind of move, and the only way to move forward is to not try to impose this team-by-team, sort of state-by-state law on this issue. You're not going to make everyone happy no matter what you do. You're not making
you can make us happy, and other people, not everyone. You do wonder if some of the owners who are most vocal, seemingly, in trying to make the story go away, and trying to placate the president, will maybe feel differently now than they did in the spring. You can only hope.
That's what's happening in the news. All right. Okay. So, here we are. It is the last week of July. Teams are reporting. Players are reporting. And guess what? Some of the players reporting to camp aren't going to make it to the end of the camp with their teams. And that was the subject of the latest banger from Greg Rosenthal, titled, as I noted earlier, Greg's title, Notable Bros on Roster Bubble in Training Camp.
Getting a lot of mileage out of this bit.
I don't know. It's just something that makes me laugh, the idea of you typing bros in the headline. I don't know.
What's the difference between bros and guys?
That's a fair question.
Not every guy is a bro. Not every guy.
But every bro is a guy. I mean, in theory.
Yeah. It is. It's kind of the...
I really unpacked that one.
Anyway, so, Greg, you laid out some, I would say, prominent players of all different sizes and shapes and ages. And you started the list. It doesn't look like it's alphabetical, so I'll start with the guy that you talk about first. It's Donald Penn, who's been... offensive lineman with the Raiders, and you think that is a guy right there, look out, and that would probably be a man that would attract a market, I think, if he ended up on the street.
They'll only cut him, I believe, if he's not healthy. He's a big man, 35 years old, coming off a major foot surgery. He's guaranteed $3 million or else he already might be cut. So they'll see if he's healthy, and if he's healthy, I think he'd have a chance to make the team. But they drafted a left tackle, and they're not moving that left tackle, Colton Miller, to the right side at all during training camp or practices or anything. Colton Miller's playing the left side, and if he's just the better player than Penn, who was originally a Buccaneer when John Gruden was there way back in 2007. What an undrafted player Donald Penn has turned into. And it would be very John Gruden on brand for a cutthroat, let's release the guy that used to be with me in Tampa. I've got no alignment to anyone.
I mean, you'd think that Gruden would love a player that was around a decade plus ago.
You would think,
yes.
But I
think a lot of them.
I think he's a sneaky cutthroat guy.
Penn also called up Gruden furious when they drafted Colton Miller. Called him up on the phone. Maybe Gruden said, no, don't like that.
No one calls me on the phone. Wes, I'm going to lay out four quarterbacks on Greg's list. Which one to you is the most likely and the least likely to be cut? Brett Hundley of the Packers, Robert Griffin III of the Ravens, Teddy Bridgewater of the Jets, and Paxton Lynch of the Broncos.
I think Robert Griffin III and Brett Hundley are in the same basket here, because very rarely do teams keep three quarterbacks anymore. And the Packers went out and got DeShone Kizer, who's another young quarterback, to put behind Aaron Rodgers. And they saw last year they couldn't rely on Brett Hundley. So why carry a guy you can't rely on? And then RG3, they signed him before they drafted Lamar Jackson. And again, I don't see teams wanting to keep three quarterbacks. So I would think RG3 is probably in major danger of getting cut.
I think he has a decent chance to stay, RG3.
Until they need the roster.
He seems to be really sold on this idea that, like, him and Lamar Jackson have somewhat similar skill sets, and that
sounds like
an off-season
thing.
He could be like a backup of the future.
Sounds great till you need a special teamer on game day.
What if I'd like to see an RG3 having a nice preseason and training camp and just kind of be back in the mix, and that he shows them that he's an NFL quarterback and that they would just want to keep him.
I mean, and if you're RG3, I would assume the moment that they drafted Lamar Jackson, you're kind of like, oh, crap, because that is never going to be the place for him. He's never going to get real time. He would probably be better off at this stage of his career having a new home But at this point,
he wasn't in the NFL last year,
so he doesn't have really that type of power to be able, like, I want to be somewhere else. He's just trying to reestablish himself.
Last time we saw him, he was far from impressive.
The Ravens can cut him and re-sign him at any point.
Two running backs, Mark Sessler, that you would think could help a team if they are motivated or reach the potential that others or some at some point believe they could have. Doug Martin, who's currently, of course, with the Raiders, due to make $1.37 million, but they have a lot of running backs on the roster in Oakland. And Amir Abdullah, who Greg believes will find a way most likely to stay with the Lions. Your thoughts on those two backs?
I feel like we've heard that Gruden really likes Doug Martin. So I don't know. But I guess that depends on what version of Doug Martin do we get between now and cut time. Because
it's odd and even years, right? Whether or not he's a passable running back.
I think he's had two straight bad years.
That ended last year. Oh, yeah. We were buying into that last year, and he had a lot of preseason hype last year, and it didn't work out.
I mean, the Lions, for once, have an intriguing backfield with depth and different types of backs. So Abdullah's going to just have to find a way to be more impressive. I mean, I feel like the rookie could lead them in carries, and we'll just have to see.
Was it your love of Frank Gore that saved him from being on this list?
Out of respect.
I mean, because he seems like the most likely running back to me.
Greg's smiling about
what?
To not make the team.
They've been talking him up so much, and I look at that roster, and he looks very much like a guy who's going to make the roster as a backup running back.
What about
I don't see what's going to change between
Well, the
now.
Fact that he hasn't been a good running back for
he's
a while.
He's solid. He's better on tape than it looks like.
He hasn't been a good running back for a while. He's one of the major reasons why the Colts haven't had a rushing attack. Ouch. Adrian Peterson has thoroughly outplayed him as a runner.
That's why he's upset.
Adrian Peterson rushed for over 130 yards twice in six games last year with the Cardinals. Frank Gore didn't do it once in 3 years with the Colts.
It all makes sense, though.
And he averaged 3.7 yards per carry the last 2 years.
This guy
isn't very good.
This is what happens when agendas clash.
And then he's 35 years old. It's not like he's going to get better now.
Like, I'm not in the lab, but I can hear this argument from the second floor of the house.
He's one of the smartest guys, so he's not going on the field that much, but he's kind of
so
like
is a, Peyton Manning, but no one's signing him.
Yeah, but he stayed around a little bit.
New listeners to the show, Wes has forever been a big fan of Adrian Peterson, both in the past and still believes he's
more
a player
than ever now.
In the present and the future. And Greg, basically, Frank Gore even wrote a long form about the inconvenient truth, has long been a supporter of Gore as one of the most underrated backs.
I wouldn't put him on this list because there's been no indication to think that he would get cut there just because they seem
to. The game film's the indication.
Ouch.
That's the – like, why is it that every other old guy you put on this list but you don't put Frank Gore on
I'm a little concerned just that – that Wes is getting kickbacks from Adrian Peterson at this point.
It is concerning.
Peterson saw that he was the offseason champion. He said, hey, man, can you help me out? I know you've always been
all these wine and cheese parties aren't cheap at the new Wesleyan Center.
Go watch Adrian Peterson play last year. Then go watch Frank Gore
That's fine, but that has nothing to do with whether Frank Gore is going to get cut.
Well, he's going to get cut because he's just not very good. Like, Andy's old, so that's probably
Adrian
why he's not going to make
the team. Adrian Peterson is not willing to be a backup, though.
Right.
That's the issue. It's like, as we've said a million times, he plays two downs and he doesn't want to be pulled off the field. That doesn't fit into almost any team situation.
I've never disagreed with any.
Right. Whereas Frank Gore, in a pinch, it starts snowing. You can just give him the ball 47 times. You can just keep him on the field every down. He's not going to complain. He'll play on Thursday, 3 days later, get 20 more carries. And there's some value in that.
Yeah. If you ever have a blizzard, just sign him because he'll be sitting out there.
Greg, anybody else on this list or not on this list that you wanted to put on, but then you said, oh, I don't want to get I got killed last year with Carlos Hyde. I don't want to get killed again with this similar column.
Well, I'm going to throw out Malcolm Mitchell because he's popped up in a report that's came out as we were taping here. A little breaking news. Let's use some breaking news.
It's been a while.
This is not breaking news.
Greg,
NFL Network. Tom Pelissero breaking some more news lately. Have been seeking a potential trade partner for Malcolm Mitchell, per sources. That bums me
just
out.
You cheapen the whole brand of the breaking news.
But I think...
Are they breaking that on our site? I'm going to check that now to see.
They're not even developing it.
So
it's lucky it got a post. It got a post on the website. That says to me that he is in danger of not making a team. And that's a bummer because they would not have won the Super Bowl 2 years ago without him. As a rookie.
and on the topic of AFC East wide receivers potentially in the bubble, you wrote about Jermaine Kearse of the Jets, who a team like the Jets that does not have a lot of firepower. Kearse is a very capable wide receiver, and your wide receiver room has Terrell Pryor, a guy with some upside but cannot stay healthy, and Robbie Anderson, who's a confirmed knucklehead, let's be honest. Give me more bodies, not less bodies. Do not part ways with Jermaine Kearse.
He's probably the they have four intriguing receivers, but he's the safest bet of them. Terrell, I would be more less surprised to see Terrell Pryor get cut.
You think he's better than Anunua?
I don't think he's better, but this is a guy coming. You know, Anunua's coming off a neck injury, and Kearse has been solid. That Patriots receiver position is intriguing. I think they like Cordarrelle Patterson is making that team, and they're pretty deep there. Kenny Britt might end up making it over Malcolm Mitchell.
I thought maybe on this list would be Josh Gordon changes this a little bit, but I don't. This happened after you wrote it. Corey Coleman. I feel like he's come up at trade whispers.
You want him off that team so bad.
He's come up over and over in trade whispers, and I don't think he's.
That could have been one.
I'm not sure he's the hardest working player on the roster.
I feel like you're going to frame Corey Coleman for like some type of white collar.
I would like him to. I think it would be great if he were good. I felt the way about Kenny Britt. I don't feel the way Kenny Britt, you know, got him in trouble too. It's like this guy. Come on, Corey Coleman. Enough with this guy. Making a lot of money.
That would be bad if they cut
him. Is he making a lot of money?
No.
In year three,
because no one of these it says more likely to be traded than cut.
Yeah,
and I think he could fit into that list.
Yeah, he.
But who would want him?
He could have fit in.
I guess somebody could take a flyer. I take that.
First
back.
Of all, like a lot of his issues have been Cowboys? Have been injury related, almost all of it.
But haven't we heard some bad
yeah, it's not
rumblings
like,
about him as well?
Right. This is not this is Teddy Bridgewater behind the scenes and we just love this kid. It's not
not like allegedly threatening a cop's wife knucklehead behavior like
my
wide receiver. But your wide receiver maybe not the best locker room guy. You've heard some of that out there a little bit.
It's out there.
I mean, Mark claims he's a detached Browns fan, but bring up Corey Coleman, and that's out.
Get this guy off my team,
no,
man!
I want him to be good, but it's just like it's an incredibly frustrating player.
So, you know, he
up till now
he was taken in the first round a year before Breshad Perriman, who is definitely.
Are we back in the Ravens nest?
We're back in the.
We're back
Ravens
in, baby.
Corey Coleman was drafted before
after Perriman.
Perriman. Sorry, okay. He's been in the league less and. And I saw someone write this, and it's interesting. Breshad Perriman might be the biggest first-round bust in team history, which makes me think you've had a pretty good drafting record, and that's true of the Ravens in the first round. But he is no better than number four on the depth chart going into camp.
He's done nothing in his career at all.
Ouch. He's gotten injured a lot, too. Knee problems.
You still got a vanity URL on that Frank Gore long form?
What was it? Gore?
Yeah, it was... Oh, NFL.com/Gore?
I'm sure it's still sitting there.
Give it a shot.
I would say Matt Elam for the Ravens didn't turn out too well.
That's a good call. Ooh, flag on the play. Sorry, this page was not found.
They yanked your...
Frank Gore.
All right, so NFL.com/Frank Gore to really get a real deep dive on Greg's love.
I don't know why. I think Mark's... I mean, Wes is just trying to get under my skin or something.
I'm not. I really do think that he belongs on a list of players likely to be
cut. He's coming from a real place, Wes.
No.
But he's enjoying also needling.
I have really heard from someone who looked into his tape, thought he ran a lot better in the league, thought he ran a lot better than the numbers showed last year. He's solid. He's just a backup. He's a solid that can do a little bit of everything.
You heard from someone.
I talked to someone in the league, yeah. This is true. It's a true story.
How many people did you have to talk to before you got that
two people.
Analysis?
I only know.
I disagree with this person you talked to in the league. I watched the film, too.
And Wes is a fellow lab rat. That's what we call each other. Adrian Peterson deserves a job in this league.
Yeah,
I agree he's hard to accommodate.
Lab rat to lab rat.
Because you're not going to sign him to be a backup or a complimentary player. He has to be a workhorse in order to be worth having on your roster.
If his destiny feels like when Chris Carson gets injured in training camp, and then they realize Rashad Penny was maybe not ready to be a first-round draft pick. It's like, hey, Adrian Peterson, come be the week one starter for the Seattle Seahawks. That just feels
right. We're days away from devastating injuries.
I was going to say, as much as you don't want to say this, this is the nature of the game. 2 weeks from now, there will be 1 to 3 running backs that will have blown their ACLs. Just
don't.
What do you want me to? What do you want from me?
That's the odds suggest that you're absolutely right.
And maybe
Fozzie Whitaker did in the first day of OTAs. This
happens. It sucks. The ligament was not built for this sport, and yet it goes on.
I would not want to be Greg with all the Seahawks fans, all the 12s about to get in his mentions for already writing off Rashad Penny.
I mean,
throwing out an example.
We will be back. Again, this is as training camp, all the teams report to training camp. We have reported back to full-time duty on the podcast 3 times a week. So you'll hear from us again on Wednesday and then once more on Friday. We're back to 3 times a week. How exciting. And yes, the big effing announcement will come at the end of the week. So hang tight on that. On Wednesday will be our next video show as well.
Correct. Right?
So we'll keep an eye out for that at NFL.com/Rosenthal. Rosenthal. There you go. I think it's ATN Video.
It's ATN Live.
ATN Live. There you go. All right, let's go. This is Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Oh, we are back. Let's fly till Wednesday.